Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. You see that handsome young man right there? That's Daniel Seckham. He's calling in around 1 in the morning from Australia. Hello, Daniel.
G'day. How's it going? It's not actually 1 a.m. It's actually midnight.
Oh, midnight.
But it's still pretty late.
It's pretty close.
I have to drink my cup of tea to keep me awake.
Yeah, I've got my Jehovah Jireh cup here. This is my Jehovah coffee, but it's water. And what an introduction. How are you today? You're doing very well?
Doing good. Doing good.
I'm glad to hear it. Seems to be such a another interesting moment. The DNC is going on. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. We're here to encourage, strengthen, and give hope to God's people for the days we're living in. But looking at the things going on in the world again, getting that focus through the biblical lens, man, let's go ahead and speak into that right now. What is in your heart to share with the body of Christ today?
Well, there's a bunch of different things that we could talk about. One of the things that I think is particularly interesting is it's almost as like the lawlessness is going from strength unto strength unto strength at the moment. And the press are covering for all this lawlessness. But the media might as well change their name to Pravda. Do you know what I mean when I say Pravda?
Yeah, the Russian newspaper, right?
Yep, the Russian newspaper, because that's exactly what they have become. They have it's like they are trying to completely – it's complete propaganda now, and they are completely shameless in the way that they talk about it. I mean, the double standards are absolutely stunning. I mean, this morning news came out that there have been new pictures of Bill Clinton on the Lolita Express, where there is one of the underage girls is giving him a massage. And yet he came up to the podium at the DNC and delivered – he didn't come up to the podium. Sorry, he was – it was all online.
Sure.
But he gave an address at the DNC convention. This is in the Me Too era. So what's essentially happened is that the whole Me Too campaign has been stalled. It's been put on hold just to give a pass to Bill Clinton. I mean, the double standards are truly, truly extraordinary. And it's a two-tier two-tier justice system. It's a two-tier standard of morality, you know, and it just blows me away. Meanwhile, lawlessness is going on and on unabated. The Attorney General in Portland is refusing to prosecute rioters, so they're being let off the hook. They're being arrested. They've been, you know, but they're not being prosecuted. And as a result of that, the police are exasperated, and they should absolutely feel that way because they're not being supported. They're being demonized night after night after night. They're being trashed and demonized. They're being putting their lives on the line. They're getting injured. And the DA is not prosecuting any of the rioters. They're letting them off the hook. So it's just incredible. Meanwhile, there is a mass exodus. People are leaving that city in droves, as they are with San Francisco and as they are with Seattle. There is a mass exodus of people trying to get out of these Democrat-run cities. And so they should. These cities have just become an absolute cesspool of lawlessness and of just chaos. And the thing is that these mayors, these Democrat mayors, aren't doing anything about it because this lawlessness, they're using it as political leverage to demonize Trump. Okay, but here's the thing, Vincent. I think it's going to backfire, and I think it's backfired already. There's been a bunch of different statistics that have come out, even from the black community, where their eyes have been opened to the BLM, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. They have seen that it was a political ruse from the beginning, and now it's all unraveling. And now many of them are turning against it. And we've seen that, you know, what's really interesting. We've seen that with the really successful, what's her name? Kim Klobuchar, anyway. I think that might be her name. But she's the new woman who's running for Congress in Baltimore. She put out a political advertisement, and it's just gone absolutely viral. In fact, it's been watched more times than Michelle Obama's address at the DNC convention. So she has just gone off the charts. And in fact, many are saying that a new star is born. And that's particularly worrying because 90% of the black community of black Americans vote Democrat, 90%. Now, here's the thing, Vincent, if they lose just 30%, if the Democrats lose 30% of the black vote, it's game over for them. It's game over. And so there are worrying signs for the Democrats in these so-called strongholds, in these traditional strongholds like Baltimore. I mean, if Baltimore, if Kim gets in, that would be a political earthquake for the left. And so, and there's many other promising signs all over the place. Laura Loomer in Florida has just become the Republican contender to challenge the Democrat incumbent in the congressional area of Palm City, which is actually Trump's new residence. So that's promising. Another Republican has also been nominated for down there in another Democrat stronghold as well, down in Florida. So it's interesting how things are shaping up. Now, Trump didn't look like in a good way a few weeks ago, but he started to get tough in regard to the lawlessness, and the people responded to that. People respond when tough measures are being meted out against lawlessness. So and not just that. There's been a lot of news coming out in regard to the economy. Economy is actually doing far better than what was projected. So that's encouraging. But the question that lies in all this, where is America spiritually? Where is America spiritually? Is America on the path to repentance? Is there really a genuine about face where America acknowledges her sin? No. And that's a real worry. That really is a worry. And that for me means that I think that there is a Damocles sword hanging above America at the moment. A sword, the sword of Damocles, you know, hanging by a, the hair of a
horse's hair.
A horse's hair. Yeah. Horse's hair. And gosh, America is basically treading on thin ice, because again, as much as I hate to say it, because I'm an optimistic guy, I'll always like to look on the bright side of things, but the time is ticking in regard for America, because judgment is inevitable. It's not if. The question is not if, the question is when. So we could see a bit of a shaking coming up. We could see a bit of a shaking coming up in September, which interestingly, Vincent, is that there is a bunch of anarchists that are planning on laying siege to the White House, which is in the latter half of the month of September. And also, too, we know that it could be absolute pandemonium by the time we actually get to November. So there's a lot to consider and a lot to think about.
Well, well said. What a great opening, and you're absolutely right. I want to read some scripture out of Isaiah chapter 30, and I want to declare this again as the word of the Lord. I'm going to be teaching a Bible study on this tonight over in Decatur. And so, but I want to bring it out on the air. I want people to hear it, because everything we understand, obviously, by the time we get into September, October, November, with the upheaval of events going on, it wouldn't be surprising to me, Daniel, to see that millions of patriots in the United States finally, after seeing that kid kicked in the head, maybe unto death in Portland, the brutal violence that they've put out, do unto them as they have done unto you. I think that's going to be the law of the land right now, the law of the jungle. And I think you're going to see a lot of people begin to arm up, and I believe we're going to begin to see that internal war. I think people are looking what has been allowed to happen by the police department, by the governors, by the mayors of these states, and I think the people are basically going to say, you're going to defund the police, therefore we're going to take things into our own hand, and I believe we're going to see that internal clash. In my mind, there's no doubt about that. This is where the sword of war will be drawn. But here's something I find to be a word for America. This is God's word to America, I believe. I'm going to stand behind it regardless what people think. And it's in Isaiah 30, but I'm going to read it out of the Living, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you. What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade, but by trusting Pharaoh, that is any kind of government leader or administration, you will be humiliated. And by depending on him, you will be disgraced. For through his power, and though his power extends to the ends of the earth, and his officials have arrived in the major cities across the country, all who trust in him will be ashamed. He will not help you. Instead, he will disgrace you. So I'm going to begin by just saying this, that every born-again child of God, every son and daughter of God, better take their eyes off of mankind as far as men helping them. And my fear is that there are many people that are putting their trust in the arm of flesh. They're putting their trust under the shadow of an administration at a time when Bible prophecy is unfolding. And to me, I'm going to just come out and say it. I was going to hesitate, but I believe that that bubble, that balloon, that air balloon that everybody's hoping in for November, that Trump wins, I believe there's going to be a spear go right through that balloon. And I think that this false hope that people are gathering, there's going to be a gasp throughout the world. There's going to be a gasp in the United States come November. And I'm not sure what it is. I don't know how it's going to look, but I think the air is going to go out because it's not rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. And I do believe that if we're going to say it's end time Bible prophecy, then we should really side with what the Bible is saying is coming. Now, I know people are, you know, they're kind of, walking cautiously, which is right. And I believe that people need to be very careful about everything. But all the signs are pointing to not a happy time in November. And if the air goes out of the balloon because people are disappointed because what they were hoping for did not come to pass, Daniel, that just creates a further environment of chaos.
You bet. You bet. You know, don't put anything past the left.
That's right.
Even if they are resigned to the fact that Americans are going to come out and vote and it's going to be a red wave, don't put anything past the left. I mean, they will try. Here's what people need to understand about the left. Today's left is not the same left as the counterculture movement in the 1960s. Today's left is far more dangerous, far more insidious, and far more evil. People have literally been given over, as we read in Romans 1, where Paul says that because of the suppression of truth, therefore God gave them over. He handed them over. And that's exactly what we are experiencing now. Leftism really is, to be summed up, is the spirit of this world. It is the spirit of this world that rejects God and rejects his authority and rejects his sovereignty and rejects his laws and rejects his order for mankind. Leftism, really, in a nutshell, is political Satanism. That's what it is. That might sound harsh. That might sound over the top. But in reality, that is exactly what it is. Now, there are many people that fully support it. They're fully into social justice. They are fully woke, so-called woke. But the reality is the ideology of leftism, which is predicated upon Marxism, is actually a satanic ideology. It is politically satanic, even though many people are involved in it and they don't realize that it is. But at the end of the day, they are involved in an evil movement. I mean, if you want to understand how evil it is, look at the writings of Karl Marx. Read about his life. In fact, there's an excellent book actually written by Richard Wurmbrand, who was the author who wrote Tortured for Christ. He wrote a brilliant book called Karl Marx and Satan, or Marx and Satan. And have a look, because he documents so many incredible little-known facts about Karl Marx and his life, and how there is a very strong connection from Karl Marx to Satanism and the occult. And some of the things that he wrote, gosh, just send chills up your spine. Anyway, don't put anything past the left. This November, they could pull off the impossible. Now, remember that many of the globalists are already talking about this so-called Great Reset. They're talking about the Great Reset. You know, this is not they're not talking about a restart. They're talking about a reset where things start again from scratch. By the way, this plays right into many of their already other agendas. In fact, I don't understand why people can actually call this a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy if what they want to do is out in the open. Mm-hmm. It's not a conspiracy. It's actually clearly an agenda that they have. They call it Agenda 21. And incidentally, next year is the year in which they had hoped to pull it off. Don't put anything past the left. This November, they could very well attempt to do something. I mean, they could literally attempt to remove President Trump by force. Now, that might seem very fanciful and over the top, but don't put anything past the left. They are evil. They are audacious, brazen, determined, disciplined. They will do whatever it takes to ensure Trump is taken out of the way.
Well, I agree with that completely. And I'm having these images flash through my mind of the little bit that I've seen. And I'm talking seconds, not minutes, of some of the things I saw on the DNC, where I hear Chuck Schumer talking about how our country is being ripped from us. I'm going, whose country are you talking about? I mean, what country are you referring to? I want to go back to the speech in Ohio when President Trump said in Ohio, and this is not verbatim, but it was something of the sense of, you're not going to see me for a very long time. I've got some very rich, powerful enemies that don't like what I'm doing. They're very unhappy with me. You're not going to see me. And everybody was trying to interpret, what are you saying? And it's possible, when I look at Colin Powell, when I look at John Kasich, who ran for president of the United States as a Republican a few years ago, they're all turning against the president right now. There's a large group of Republicans that are turning against him. The globalists are turning. Yeah. Is this what Donald Trump was referring to? Did he send a message to the people, my rich, globalist, powerful friends don't like what I'm doing. You're not going to see me for a while, for a long time. Is he conceding? Now, I know he's going to go out there and fight. I know it's a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle. But again, we have to understand what time it is. And getting back to what you just said, let me just read a little bit further out of Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, out of the Living. Now go and write down these words. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell the seers, stop seeing visions. They tell the prophets, don't tell us what is right. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel. And this is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. Because you despise what I tell you and trust instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly like a bulging wall that bursts and falls. In an instant, it will collapse and come crashing down. I saw when I was reading this the economy so clearly. You will be smashed like a piece of pottery, shattered so completely that there won't be a piece big enough to carry coals from a fireplace or a little water from the well. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we will get our help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle, but the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. Five of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. And I know Jonathan Kahn is having a return. He's calling it the return, and it's a very good message. And it's consistent with this, that the only way that we get through into normality or morality or something more beautiful than what is right now is by returning to the Lord. But like you said, God said, you'll have nothing to do with it. You are a land of rebels. And he was talking to Israel at that time. He was talking to his own people. Daniel, it just appears to me that the word of God is speaking, and that suddenly, that sudden catastrophe is knocking at the door of our nation.
Yeah. Yes. It really does seem like it's heading down that direction. Like I said, the Great Reset movement is really taking off steam. In fact, if you want to understand more about that, check out the Davos meetings, or check out the conference, the World Economic Forum meetings at Davos, and just check out what they're talking about. They're saying it right out in the open. They're saying they want to bring an end to capitalism. Doesn't get much more clearer than that.
Yeah.
They need to get rid of the old system of capitalism and replace it with a new system. In fact, they're even calling it happitalism. Happitalism, where everyone is happy with this new economic system. Gosh.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, these people are going to force upon mankind. In fact, they're going to use the pandemic as an excuse, I would imagine. But they're going to force mankind to accept some kind of a mark or whatever it is, and which it'll virtually be impossible to buy and sell or anything. Do I believe that we're getting that close? Well, I think we could very well be. We could very well be. Look, I'm all up. I would love to see Trump win in November and things go back to happy days, but I don't see it that way. This year, it's so funny. I mean, even non-Christians are sharing memes about 2020. They say if 2020 was a such and such, or if 2020 was a slide, if 2020 was a drink, if 2020, and of course, it's all over the top horrible scenarios because 2020 has been a disaster. And God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to get our attention. This year is a very, very important year because it is the beginning of the end. I believe it is the beginning of the end. We are seeing the beginning of birth pains, real birth pains, not Braxton Hicks contractions. No, real birth pains. And I believe that we'll see another birth pain perhaps next month. But I think we're going to see a major shaking come November. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So you ask, well, where is the hope for people that are living on this earth and in this country right now? If we're not looking to administrations, we're not looking to governmental authorities, where is our hope? And I love what it says in verse 18 of Isaiah 30. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. O people of Zion, here's the body of Christ. Folks, listen carefully. Who live in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Wow. And then he talks about you're going to destroy your idols of silver and gold. You're going to throw them away like filthy rags. You're going to say goodbye to all the materialism and carnality and fleshly world. In other words, it's a call to God's people, Daniel, to start following God. He is our government. He is our kingdom. It's his righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that is not an exclusion to being a faithful citizen. While we are citizens on this earth, we're in the world, not of it. We use it, we don't abuse it. We still need to be responsible with our voting. We still need to clarify what we're looking for. And we need to be, this is not a call to be irresponsible, but it's always primarily, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of the gospel. My help is in God. My cry is to him. I'm not going to be able to cry to my government. I'm not going to be able to cry to the police department. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to ask man to help me. God has got to become the hope of his people. Every individual must have a genuine relationship, and these times are really going to separate who is genuinely in relationship. Because, Daniel, in my understanding, if I'm discerning properly at all, there is a spiritual release going on right now of demonic spirit that is increasing. It's getting weightier. It's getting stronger. It's becoming more violent. There's something in the atmosphere that is shifting dramatically, and it may have been a light shift, but it's getting stronger and stronger. Are you sensing that? Is that even close in the wheelhouse?
Yeah. You know, my friend Andy White from Long Island said something very interesting. He said the Lord gave him a vision and he saw three swords. And the first sword was the sword of deception. The second sword was the sword of division. And the third sword was the sword of destruction. So the first sword was the sword of deception. The second sword was the sword of division. And the third sword was a sword of destruction. And I thought, that really, look, I'm not big on visions and stuff like that, okay, because I place a lot of emphasis on the Word of God, but that really struck me, and that really captured my attention when he said that, because, boy, haven't we seen that? I mean, it all began with deception. And really, this is utterly biblical when you look at the Olivet Discourse. Mm-hmm. The very first thing that Jesus said was, watch out that no one deceives you. Okay? Watch out that no one deceives you. And boy, like, deception has just infiltrated everywhere. Deception is everywhere. You know, today, Dennis Prager was now going on over the fact that the left have now captured science, that science is now hostage to the left. And so it's just, deception is utterly, utterly, utterly everywhere. And then after deception, what came in after deception? Well, the Great Division. There's division came in, and people were turning against each other. And again, Jesus said all about this. Remember when he said, "For I will turn parents against their children and children against their parents, and you know, there will be great persecution. You'll be hated by all people because of me." Matthew says you'll be hated by all nations because of me. But yeah, the sort of division, you know, it's interesting that it's happening to America so
I know,
in such a stunning fashion, which is ironic because America, one of America's key strengths has been her unity. One of America's key strengths has been her unity. That's why you are called, you know, you're not called
the
moderately okay together states.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing all right states. No, you are the United States. You know, you're not the loosely connected states of America. You are the United States of America. And that is one of the key strengths of your country, is because you are so united. And the devil knew that. And the devil, his strategy was to undo that. His strategy was to attack the unity and to bring division. And that's exactly what he does. And boy, that is exactly what Marxism does. Marxism breeds division. It pits blacks against whites and whites against blacks. It pits males against females. This is why feminism is a big thing on the left. It pits heterosexuals against homosexuals, you know, and again, the whole LGBT movement is a big movement on the left. You know, you name it, like they have all these victim groups, all these so-called oppressed groups. So it's just, it really is incredible. In fact, I've lost my train of thought. If you could help me, Vincent.
Yeah, well, no,
it's tired and I'm late.
Yeah, it's tired and you're late is right. Listen, I think we both just did the same thing. I just got a report for somebody in the hospital. What I was going to say to you while you were going through this is, suddenly, as of last night, some very godly people, at least, you know, they love Jesus. They're talking about Jesus, Yeshua, are calling for people all over this country to take up arms right now. A lot of people saw what happened in Portland. Kid came up and kicked that 16-year-old in the head and may have killed him. Nobody knows yet. Nobody has any information.
He's okay. In fact, he's just left hospital.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Yeah, he's home recovering. Yeah.
Wow. So a lot of people were saying, you know, thank God for that, but the call is to take up arms. I mean, that's, you know, people are watching the violence, and I just wanted to get your take on that. You know, as this these marauding gangs, if you will, are going through the, you know, the suburbs in the streets of our neighborhoods, you know, are the people in this country being pushed? Because I heard also that the Democratic left is creating their own RNA, or the NRA, the National Rifle Association. They're getting their own NRA going to equip their people. It's almost like both sides are gearing up for a revolutionary war. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's not going to be as clear cut as, well, here's the thing. See, it was very, the Civil War happened centuries, you know, a couple of centuries ago. That Civil War was easier to be carried out because of geographical factors, because there was the Confederates were pretty much, and all who espoused their political position were all in the South, whereas the Union were all in the North. So there was this geographical there was a clear divide geographically. That's what I'm trying to say. But that's not necessarily the case yet, although we are beginning to see like oil and water. You know, you mix it up, but over time, oil and water, they just drift apart. And this is what we're slowly beginning to notice. See, there was a great division within the culture, and we began to notice that over the past 10 years. There was a stark shift going on within the culture. But what's happening is that this cultural shift, this polarization, is now starting to become visible geographically. Now, what I mean by that is that the leftists are congregating in the big cities, and the conservatives are fleeing the cities. They're getting out of the cities. They don't want to have anything to do with the cities because the cities have just become a cesspool of lawlessness. And so these people are trying to get out. I think it's interesting, Vincent, because cities are like bastions of the of socialists. Socialism and the Marxists all congregate in cities. It's always been the case. In fact, even Thomas Jefferson wrote how he lamented about cities. There is this geographical polarization now, and it's becoming distinct. Now that could make it much more plausible for an actual civil war, because there is that stark geographical division. And we've started to see that already, because there are a bunch of anarchists, Antifa and Black Lives Matter mobs, who basically left the city and went out into the suburbs to terrorize the people living in the suburbs. In fact, just yesterday, there was and I believe this actually happened in, was it Portland or was it Seattle? I think it was actually in Portland. Here it is here. It says, black candidate brings a Black Lives Matter. This happened in Minneapolis. In fact, it was led by a Democrat candidate, and he's running for the state legislator in Minnesota, and he is supported and endorsed by the governor of Minnesota. Okay, and what he did, he basically took all these Black Lives Matter mobs into the suburbs, and he began to terrorize whites and white people. In fact, he terrorized teen girls and said, "We are sick of your white ASS," taunting them. And the girls are just absolutely mortified, and they're filming it all with their phones, because and the others are on the phone probably trying to get a hold of the police. But it's just incredible what we're seeing, Vincent. The fact that these people are actually going out into the suburbs and terrorizing, you know, there was another big Black Lives Matter protest in Seattle, and they were chanting and telling white residents to give over their homes, to give over their homes. So it is interesting. I think, if a civil war was ever to break out today, Antifa will be wiped out within a few days. I mean, when you look at the American people who are armed to the teeth, there is no contest. It will be all over.
So, Daniel, the scriptures the scriptures tell us that a time will come, and you can find this in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God
yeah.
will so utterly destroy that the birds of the air will come and feast upon the flesh of kings and horses and princes,
yeah.
that there would be a feasting of the powers of darkness upon a nation that is subdued. And it appears to me by what you're saying and what we believe is that the kindling has been set for the burning
yeah.
of the cities of the United States, Babylon, America, there's no doubt. And the competing forces of the LGBTQ
yeah.
community, Islam, communism,
yep.
they all
yep.
are coming like a powerful satanic
yep.
prey to feast
yep.
upon the death that's going to occur in this nation, because the people of this country did not exalt the lordship of Jesus Christ. We did not know how to humble ourselves and pray. We talked about it. We gathered here and there, but we never really came out of her. And it's interesting. The Bible says of Babylon, come out of her, my people, because the time has come that there's nothing you're going to do to restrain what's going to happen to you, because the judgment is set. And I do believe that the nation of Islam, I do believe that the LGBTQ community, the radical communist agenda, socialist agenda, these are principalities under the power of a satanic influence that are coming to destroy, just like God sent them against Israel in days of old. So again, the idea, let me just read one more passage of scripture here out of the same book. It says that in verse 27 of Isaiah 30, look, the Lord is coming from far away, burning with anger, surrounded by thick rising smoke. His lips are filled with fury. His words consume like fire. His hot breath pours out like a flood up to the neck of his enemies. He will sift out the proud nations for destruction. He will bridle them and lead them away to ruin. You know, and in the midst of that, there's this hope where he says, but the people of God will sing a song of joy like the songs at the holy festivals. And we have the Feast of Tabernacles in mind right now. And I just see this very clear separation, this contrast between light and darkness. And man, the gray zone is going to be wiped out. But this is also of the Lord. Everything that is happening right now, we've got to stop thinking where, you know, it's from the left. This that is happening in our country and around the world, Daniel, according to the prophet Jeremiah, this is of the Lord. It is the righteous judgment of God upon a sleepy people, and a hope to God there's an awakening. But the righteous, you know, those who have the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, possessive in our inward parts, we have a place of comfort in Christ that's very real.
Yep. Amen. Let me throw out another plausible scenario. Let's just say if something happens and Biden gets in and he is elected, look, it wouldn't take much for them to remove him based on the fact of his senile, you know, I mean, he's basically, he's mentally deteriorating. In fact, it was even evident with his wife's address. He came on and it's evident that he is basically got Alzheimer's or something like that. But it wouldn't take much for them to remove him because of that. Now, if that is the case, Kamala Harris will become the president of the United States. And she is not a moderate. She is a radical, radical, radical leftist. She is absolutely committed to full-term abortion, like just the most horrendous, archaic abortion laws. Furthermore, she absolutely detests Christians. She is extremely corrupt, takes bribes. And as I said last week, she basically got to where she is because of promiscuous dealings, and which is shocking, but check it out. And that's exactly how she got to where she is. Now, if she becomes the president of the United States, I think it's interesting, Vincent, that, see, you and I are of the firm of belief. We believe that the prostitute, the harlot, that we see in Revelation 17 could very well be the United States. And I say that for a number of different reasons. And look, don't dismiss me just at the outset. Hear what I have to say. But the fact that Kamala Harris would be at the helm just makes it even more interesting, considering how she got to where she is.
Through harlotry.
It's harlotry.
Mm-hmm.
Harlotry.
Interesting.
Think about that. And if she actually becomes president, it's like, I mean, God is trying to make things as literal and as obvious as he possibly can. God, especially in regard to these last day signs, God wants to remove ambiguity. He wants to remove ambiguity and he wants to move confusion. And God, I believe, is trying to make things obvious for us so that we know, so that we'll know. Okay. But I think that that would be a very interesting and very, very plausible scenario. That said, listen, I think there is a very clear case to be made in regard to America, especially when you look at the three names that are written on the prostitute's forehead. They are the key to her identity. So the very first one that is written there is Mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery, in other words, it's going to be concealed up until a point of time and then it will be revealed. Babylon the Great, in other words, it's going to be a pagan empire, reminiscent of Babylon. What was significant? In fact, let's go back even further to the Tower of Babel, okay, which was the precursor to the empire, basically. But what was significant about that? Well, it was all these nations came together. All these nations came and became one. What is the hallmark of the kingdom of the Empire of Babylon? There were all these nations under that became part of the empire. It was all these people groups became part of one empire. Okay? And that is what... See, the United States is not a nation that is founded upon blood and soil. The United Nations is founded upon an idea. An idea. And see, you can be from any ethnicity, and if you adhere to the idea, if you adhere to the values, if you say the pledge, okay, then you become an American. You become an American citizen because you adhere to that nation's set of values. You agree with the idea of the Republic of the United States. America is a nation of all different people groups, okay, and that is reminiscent of the Kingdom of Babylon, very reminiscent. What is especially fascinating, Vincent, is that Jeremiah 50 and 51, and you agree with me on this, that Jeremiah 50 and 51 are absolutely crucial in understanding Revelation 17 and 18. In fact, they're like the key that unlocks unlocking Revelation 17 and 18. What is interesting, Vincent, is that in those two chapters, it mentions that when all the calamities hit Babylon, the people who are from other nations say, come on, let's go back to our nations. There's nothing here for us anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's return back to our own land. Did you pick up on that scripture? Yep.
And they're doing it. Yep. And I've always viewed like the United States, and it's, you know, one way or the other, there are daughters of Babylon. There's Mystery Babylon. And I was under the impression that we have been morphed into a daughter of Babylon, but we will go down like every other daughter has. Mystery, the mother of harlots. And one thing that, you know, let me just answer my own question for a moment and then we'll continue on. Should, you know, the call to take up arms, I want to say this, and this is, again, my belief. And I would say to the body of Christ, we need to learn how to cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus Christ more than how to shoot a gun. And I'll tell you why. Yeah. The level of witchcraft that comes with the rising of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, this mother of harlots and abominations, the witchcraft, the demonic spiritual witchcraft, back in June, I think it was, when the Satanists were marching through the streets calling for Lucifer to come and begin to do it. I mean, it's been insane. Shutting the churches down through COVID-19, yep. quote unquote. It has been a strategic move, and the powers of darkness, You may know how to shoot a gun, but if you don't have the blood over your conscience, if your mind is not saturated and protected by the word of God, if your heart is not sanctified by the word of God, the spiritual powers are going to influence people everywhere, Daniel. The Bible says the love of many will wax cold. There will be betrayal. There will be hatred. There are going to be crazy, unusual things happening to people we thought were solid. We thought that they were just solid, but the powers of darkness and their lack of knowledge on how to fight spiritual warfare, the enemy came in and prevailed. So my take on it right now, this is not the time to go to battle, take up a weapon, go and fight against these things, but get in your communities, be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, praying, getting your salvation worked out with fear and trembling, sanctifying, knowing the blood, knowing the word, getting understanding like we're, I believe, imparting right now to a degree. This is my take because it's the spiritual blackout, the mental, suffering that people are going to endure. And I happen to believe there are Christians everywhere that are going through emotional, mental, spiritual warfare more than they've probably been used to. And it's not going to go away. It's going to get stronger as the days go by. So spiritual warfare is the key right now, in my understanding.
Yeah. So let me read these three verses. This is actually from Jeremiah 51. But the first one says, I will send foreigners to Babylon. Foreigners, okay, to winnow her and devastate her land. They will oppose her on every side in the day of her disaster. Okay, that was Jeremiah 51, verse 2. This is Jeremiah 51, verse 14. The Lord Almighty has sworn by himself, I will surely fill you with men as with a swarm of locusts, and they will shout in triumph over you. Then in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 44, I will punish Bel in Babylon and make him spew out what he has swallowed. The nations will no longer stream to him, and the wall of Babylon will fall. Wow.
Yeah.
Now read this. Now look at these scriptures. These scriptures are about people fleeing back to their own land. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 14, like a hunted gazelle, like sheep without a shepherd, each will return to his own people, each will flee to his native land. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16, cut off from Babylon the sower and the reaper with his sickle at harvest because of the sword of the oppressor, let everyone return to his own people, let everyone flee to his own land. Okay, that's Jeremiah 50, 16. Now read Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 28. Listen to the fugitives and refugees from Babylon, declaring in Zion how the Lord our God has taken vengeance. And Jeremiah 50, verse 37, a sword against her horses, chariots, and all the foreigners in her ranks. They will become women. A sword against her treasures. They will be plundered. And then in Jeremiah 51, verse 9, we would have healed Babylon, but she cannot be healed. Let us leave her and each go to his own land. For in her judgment reaches to the skies, it rises as high as the clouds. Interesting verses, wouldn't you think?
Daniel, I just spent Saturday and Sunday preaching out of Jeremiah 50 and 51. The atmosphere at times on Saturday night was just absolutely amazing, clear, but that you could feel in some people when they hear this word, they don't like it very much. And here's my concern. If I were to be terrified by anything, I tell you as a pastor, what terrifies my heart right now, and I'm looking in the mirror at myself, but I'm concerned because in Nazi Germany, when the Germans finally showed up, the people didn't know what to do. The lack of shepherding that's going on in our country right now and around the world for the flock. I'm telling people there's one shepherd. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and you've got to allow him to shepherd your life and lead you. But what I fear, and this isn't an unholy fear, what I'm concerned about in all sincerity is that this thing is going to come down as quick as COVID-19 or whatever they call it today. It's going to come so fast, and I see scattered sheep running everywhere and not knowing what direction to go in. They're going to freak out, and all that churchianity stuff they were involved in isn't going to matter one bit immediately. They're not going to have the ability to navigate. They're not going to know what to do by the Spirit. And I could feel the encroachment coming on our nation right now. And while everybody's talking boldly, presumptuously, something is going to shift. And I just see the Jews of Nazi Germany scattered, gathered, controlled, a power that they weren't expecting suddenly coming. You know, the world's going to help us. The United Nations will help us if there wasn't the League of Nations, whoever. Somebody's got to help us, but they didn't help them. And this terrifies my spirit. And so where is the shepherding in the body of Christ today? Where is the shepherding to warn God's people, to prepare them, to equip them, rather than fleece them? I, honest to God, this is a concern that I have. I know I'm going to be held accountable for the little church that we have. I'm going to be held accountable for it. You know, thank God we don't have a mega church, because people are mentally in a bunch of different ways, and we're trying to get one mind. Go ahead, take it over. I'm just rambling at this point, but this is a concern. It's a genuine concern.
Many people are going to be caught out. And that is exactly why Jesus actually said in Luke 21, that, and this is just ties right into what you said, Vincent. Jesus says this. He says, "Be careful. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap."
There it is.
Suddenly like a trap. "For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man."
Wow. What a confirmation. And that bears witness to Isaiah chapter 31, just a few verses here. Verse 1, "What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help, trusting in their horses, their chariots, their charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies, instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. In his wisdom, the Lord will send great disaster. He will not change his mind. He will rise against the wicked and against their helpers. For these Egyptians are mere humans, not God. Their horses are puny flesh, not mighty spirits. When the Lord raises his fist against them, those who help will stumble, and those being helped will fall. They will all fall down and die together. Woe to those who are looking for the arm of flesh to bring peace, to bring harmony." Man, it's time to turn to the Lord with all of our heart. These are the scriptures, Daniel. This is what God is saying.
Yep. And things are moving into place. Have you noticed all of these peace deals falling into place for Israel at the moment?
Yeah.
You know, there's peace deals falling into place. The United Arab Emirates, and now Bahrain is thinking but there is all these different nations that will be following suit, making peace deals with Israel. And I believe it will basically line up with not the covenant. I'm not talking about the covenant for 1:7 that is spoken of about in Daniel. That's different. But what I'm talking about is when Paul says that everybody will say peace and safety, there will be peace and safety, but then suddenly disaster will come upon them.
And Daniel, let's be clear about this. Okay. We'll go a few more minutes if we need to, but I just want to be clear about this. All this is going on, world is acting out the way it is, while we are witnessing Bible prophecy come to pass, the government, the judiciary of Texas, gives a little boy by the name of James to the authority of his mother to start treating him like a girl.
Yeah.
And I think when you talk about the final straw that breaks the camel's back, that a governmental power in our nation would side with that insanity to go in the direction of transgenderism. How could any Christian in this country, any of them, want to just keep America safe and safe and great, meaning what? That everybody keeps to doing this? Turn little boys over to the power by a judicial system? How wicked. Rank is that?
Absolutely wicked. Evil. And again, this is why the judgment upon America will be much more harsh and much more because of America's foundation. America was a Christian nation. Who would have, I mean, it makes sense. And this is why the description of a prostitute is so accurate. Because, and by the way, when you, the second name on that woman's forehead is the mother of all prostitutes. Not just a prostitute. No. The mother of all prostitutes. And when you look in the Old Testament, wherever it says prostitute or harlots or harlotry or the spirit of prostitution, it's always to do with a nation that once knew the truth, but then they turned their backs. They once were pure and innocent. They had, righteous, but they turned their backs away and they plunged themselves into wickedness. This is exactly what the United States is doing. And this is why there will be zero excuse for them. Furthermore, they have even less excuse when you look at history. America has witnessed, the French Revolution, okay, and in fact, America has studied, the Founding Fathers took note of with what had happened in regard to the French Revolution. So that they've witnessed that, but they have also witnessed two other revolutions with the Bolshevik Revolution. They saw what happened there and what led to that, with Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago is an incredible work that exposed what went on. Alexander Solzhenitsyn summed it up in his book. He says, if I could sum up the reason why my country had been, millions and millions of people had been swallowed up in this ruinous revolution, I could sum it up to these simple words. Men have forgotten God. Men have forgotten God. And then America has witnessed the Chinese Cultural Revolution that happened in the 10 years from 1968 to 1978, in which tens of millions of people were killed. Okay? America doesn't have any excuse, not from history and nor from their heritage. And that's why the judgment, when it comes, it will be righteous and overwhelming. Overwhelming and righteous. And this is why, listen, and I need to say that I don't want this to come across as overwhelming for people listening to this and thinking, oh my goodness, throw your hands up in the air. And listen, don't be alarmed over this. Just be prepared. Prepare your heart, prepare yourself, and just keep your eyes on Jesus and focus on Him. That's the most important thing that you can do right now.
Daniel, that's right on. And if I were to just summarize the message today for ourselves and to the people listening, I feel as though Jeremiah is wrapping up his sermon. His message is come to an end. The time of the fulfillment of his words are at the door, and soon he will walk through the rubble of everything he warned his nation about. I believe that the message, the warning that has gone forth is wrapping up. And I believe the destruction is coming. It's at the door. And so we will continue to speak as long as we possibly can, wherever God wants us to. We will continue to have hope and faith and love. And we will continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we will watch, like Psalm 91 says, 1,000 fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh our dwelling. I believe in the supernatural power of God. That is not what we are waiting for. That is a word to the nations that hate God, that raise their fist against God, that reject God's grace and mercy to this earth. Any religion in the world that rejects the Son of God has rejected God Almighty. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. Whatever religion you are a part of, if you have rejected the Son, You have rejected the Father. Your religion is vain. Satan will use you to accomplish his ends, but God is sovereign in all things. Daniel, that's where I'm going to leave it for right now. If you have a final thought, so be it. Tabernacles is coming up in October. We're about, like a month, like 40 days away right now. Looking forward to it. Still waiting to see if Daniel is going to be coming to America for the feast. And only God knows what bloody October or October surprises may be. But none of the pleasantries may be Daniel coming to America. Only God knows. You got to let us know.
We'll see. I'm in the process of renewing my passport.
So. That's good. Daniel, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for sharing. We'll see you next week. And remember, tomorrow, Daniel has a Bible study that you could listen to Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock on the East. Just look up. They have a Zoom Bible study that he's teaching tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Make sure you get there. Daniel Seckham, always a blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to shift now to omegaradio.org. If you haven't heard of omegaradio.org, it's a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week internet radio station that myself and two other gentlemen put together nearly 3 years ago. This September will be 3 years. I invite you to go there. There's some great information. Many of these conversations are on there, but right now, there's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. There's a roundtable of some of the most brilliant minds on this planet that have the mind of Christ. Be blessed. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow. I've got a sermon for you tomorrow I want to share. Until then, I'm Pastor Vince. God bless. Have a super blessed day. And right now, Patricia Joy Xavier, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights.